This morning's scripture reading will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 22. I'm going to be reading 36, 37, and 38. And if you're using one of the Bibles under your seat, it can be found on page 873. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment."
I don't like things that are half done. I don't like to order food that is rare, looks raw, and a fear of it biting back at me. Just not into that. Don't like certainly bite into a cake that's just half baked. The prophet Hosea depicts the loyalty of God's people in chapter 7, in verse 8, as a cake that's just half-baked. Before we look at those events in that time period, I want to remind you of what Moses wrote and spoke to the Hebrews before they passed over into that promised land. You remember, Moses reminds the Israelites of a time in Egypt, when they were slaves. According to Exodus in chapter 12 and verse 40, they were in bondage for 430 years. It's a long time. Several generations would be born, dream of freedom, then eventually they would die as slaves. But under Moses, his leadership, the Hebrew nation would as you know, be set free. You remember there in Exodus chapter 15, after they had crossed the Red Sea, we see at the beginning of Exodus chapter 15 a celebration, a festive spirit is alive and thriving within the camp of Israel. But it was short-lived. There in Exodus in chapter 15 and verse 24, shortly after departing, they begin to gripe, groan, moan, and complain. You remember they had gone some time with no water, then eventually they come up on some water and it's bitter, they can't drink it. And finally God provides good clean water for them there in Marah. It wasn't long after that God eased their burden. They began to complain again. And the straw that seemed to break the camel's back was whenever they began to say, life was better in Egypt. God became so angered by their attitude of ingratitude that he struck down an entire generation in the wilderness. And he would allow the Hebrew nation to wander a grand total of 40 years. Lessons were to be learned from those experiences. As Moses grooms the Israelites for entrance into that promised land, he would remind them of their devotion and their loyalty to God there in Deuteronomy and chapter 6 and verse 4. As a matter of fact, what Jesus repeats for us there in the Gospels, it is a reiteration and a remembrance, reminding us of what God had, or what Moses had told the Israelites back in Deuteronomy in chapter 6 and verse 4. He tells the Israelites, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Behold, Israel, the Lord thy God, He's one. Love Him with everything that is within you. Interestingly enough, this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. And Moses was aware of the many dangers that the Israelites would be facing. As a matter of fact, there in Deuteronomy in chapter 6, Moses would go on and he would explain to them about some of these dangers, beginning in verses 14 and 15. He said, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God, He's a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. And then he would come over in chapter 7 in verse 1-4. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into a land that you go to possess, He's cast out all the nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when your Lord your God delivered them over to you, you shall not conquer them. You shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughter to your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. In order for God's children to stand a shot at faithfulness, they needed to remove any and all spiritual obstacles that would alter their allegiance to Him. By the way, church, God has never changed His position on that. He's never changed His position on that. You consider Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us draw, or let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I am reminded of this cat. You ever seen a cat pick at a ball of yarn before? I mean, it's cute to watch. Cat comes up, or feline friend comes up to this big ball of yarn, and he begins to pull at it. And he finds that amusing, apparently, because he keeps pulling at it, and the next thing you know, he's all wrapped up in yarn. Well, I think there's a lesson here for us. You know, there are a lot of people like that feline friend of ours. Our eyes see things that they shouldn't see. Our minds begin to wander into places that they shouldn't wander. Our hands begin to touch things that they should not touch. And our feet go to places that they should not go. And we end up in a tangled mess. That is exactly what God is telling the Israelites. Don't want to sin? Stay away from it. Don't pick at it. Don't flirt with it. Don't dance with it. Don't prance around it. Stay away from it. From the time Moses would admonish the Israelites to the time the minor prophets prophesied the Israelites, God's children, they were in a mess. In particular, I want us to just briefly look at the prophet Hosea. I know many of you say Hosea. Bear with me. Hosea was a prophet of the northern kingdom, Israel. And he would forewarn God's people, both in the north and the south, of God's judgment upon them because of their unfaithfulness unto Him, their lack of loyalty. In the first three chapters, we see a man by the name of Hosea. He's married. He has children. Oh, yeah, his wife's name is Gomer, by the way. His children are Jezreel, Loruhamah, and Loami. Maybe in our minds when we envision a man getting married to a woman and then they have children, we think it's normal. It's just the way life is supposed to be. Life should be. As a matter of fact, if you look at that at face value, you say, man, the only thing that looks abnormal are their names. That's it. But something very abnormal was going to happen. You see, there in Hosea in chapters 1, 2, and 3, when we look at that story and consider it, you remember Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. She departed. She left him. She became unfaithful in that relationship. What was the message that God was trying to convey? You know, there are some things that we experience in life that bring us great pain. For example, the death of a loved one brings us great pain. It brings about grief. We know that pain. We know that sting. But brethren, there is something else that brings about an enormous amount of pain that a person probably wishes they were dead. And it is marital unfaithfulness. When someone decides they're going to step out of the relationship and be involved with someone else, be unfaithful to their partner. Brother and I have set up with individuals who have been on the receiving end of this terrible occasion. To the wee hours of the morning. Wee hours of the morning. There is a great pain, and maybe if you have been associated with, in whatever way, and something like that, you know the pain. You know the grief. You know the agony. You know why? It can be forgiven. But it always is remembered. It's never forgotten. Let's just be realistic. It's with you forever. So what is God trying to tell His people? Brethren, God is trying to remind the Israelites that they were in a relationship. God's people were in a relationship with Him. This is a husband. It has a loving, normal relationship, faithful relationship with his wife, and vice versa. And spiritually, Israel, you have stepped out on me. You have committed spiritual adultery. Remember Moses reviewing the past and instructing the Israelites about the future back there in Deuteronomy. It always seemed to be that God's people struggled with this thing called faithfulness. To them, the grass always looked greener on the other side of the fence. You remember after the period of the judges, Israel had an admiration for other nations. You remember they went to Samuel. There in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verses 4 through 7. And do you remember what they requested? We want a king. We want to be like everybody else. You go back and you read that, brother, and you'll see it broke Samuel's heart. And God, as if God is almost comforting Samuel, said, Samuel, I want you to understand something. They're not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. They're rejecting me. But we want to be like everybody else. They were guilty of casting off God's precepts, God's will for their lives, God's direction, God's involvement in their affairs. Well, at the same time, guess what? We'll give lip service to God. Oh, they still held to their religious rituals. But that's all they were just rituals. Nothing more. God calls them down on this in Hosea in chapter 6, in verses 4 through 6. Says, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? Ephraim is synonymous with Israel. What shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. What are we talking about here? Their what? Their faithfulness. Here and gone. Here and gone. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And your judgments are like the light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Kind of sounds like the same discussion Jesus had with the Pharisees, doesn't it? God says, I want you to be faithful to me. I want righteous, holy lives. Did you notice how he used the word knowledge? I want you to know my precepts, to abide by my precepts. There was religious symbolism, but there was no substance. There was a form of godliness, but that's where it ended. They met for worship, but their hearts were truly divided. And that is why God says what he does to that prophet Hosea. Chapter 7 and verse 8. Ephraim, that is Israel, has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim, that is Israel, is a cake unturned. It's half-baked. Folks, God is providing us with a powerful metaphor explaining how the heart is divided. It's not loyal to Him. And He is even telling us why. He is saying His people, because they have made alliances and they rely upon pagans, they have pulled their allegiance away from God. They have sought and pursued pagans in every way imaginable. You've admired their political system. You've made their ways your ways. You adored their women, and you married them. You have adopted and embodied everything they stand for. And the icing on the cake, no pun intended, is that religiously, you have lost your way. You have lost your way. Hosea chapter 4, he says that. Chapter 4, verse 11, he says, harlotry, wine, and new wine, they enslave the heart. My people ask for counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountain tops and burn incense on the hills under the oaks, the poplars, and the terebinth trees. Because there is shade is good. Therefore your daughters commit harlotry and your brides commit adultery. Goes on and he says a very similar thing in chapter 8 and verses 4 through 6. Spiritually you're lost. As a matter of fact, they were so entrenched in paganism, God reveals perhaps one of the saddest passages, folks, in chapter 8 and verses 11 and 12. Because Ephraim, that is Israel, has made many altars for sin, they have become for him altars for sinning. Look at verse 12. God says, I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. Brethren, God's people are in real trouble when God's word is a strange thing to them. And that's what the prophet Hosea is saying. That's what God is saying. You are so entrenched and involved in the world. You don't even know how to be religious anymore. Oh, you have a symbolism of it. You play the game, you say the right words, but you're not really, truly, wholeheartedly devoted to me. They had forgotten God. That's what God says in chapter 8 and verse 14. You've forgotten me, God says. It's so bad you've just forgotten me. Israel was a half-baked cake. I've shared this story with you all before. There's some who've probably not heard it. Let me ask you, have you ever bitten into anything that wasn't really done before? I was probably about 8 years old. Now, those of you who have heard this before, just don't give the punchline away before I get it out. I was about 8 years old. My mom came from a big family. That generation, they produced big families. And my aunt Arella, who names a child Arella? Someone whose name is Gertrude names a daughter Arella. They're going to make fun of me, they're going to make fun of you, baby. So, my aunt Arella was responsible for babysitting me, watching me at about 8 years old. And I was hungry. And she says, well, what do you want to eat? And I said, a boiled egg. That'd be great. She goes, well, I've never boiled eggs before. That's strike two. So she boiled the water. That made sense to her. Boil water. Okay, put an egg in the boiled water. But she had no clue how long to put it in there. And it probably within 4 or 5 minutes, I guess it's done. Scotty, your egg's done. And I peel the shell off, and I bite into it. And guess what happens? Yolk runs all down my face. It was nasty. Nasty. That's strike three. To make matters worse, you think that's the end of the story? I always remember my mom telling me to clean my mouth up or she was going to wash it out with soap. Those were the first words that came to my mind. I run to the bathroom and literally stick a bar of Ivory soap in my mouth to try to get the egg out of it. Do not try this at home, kids. Nothing good comes from it. So I had egg yolk and soap at the same time in my mouth. It was a bad day for me. I never wanted my mom to leave me with Aunt Arella ever again. That was it. But I have a question for each and every one of you. Is our loyalty to the Lord like ancient Israel's? Are we half-baked No wonder Jesus repeated Moses' instructions there in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 and 38. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind. Not just a fourth or a half, three-fourths, most. He says all. You know, by our actions, we tell others just how much we love the Lord. But most of all, most importantly, we tell God how much we love Him. You remember there in Hosea chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, they do not consider in their hearts that God says this, I remember all of their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies. God goes on and says, and amidst all of their sin, God says, I want you to know, I see it. I know what's going on. I know what's going on. I'm going to challenge you today to look at this prophet Hosea, his wife Gomer, their children, and look at that situation, seeing how the heartache and the destruction that comes upon a family as a result of unfaithfulness. And let's spiritually apply it to our relationship with God. You see, God's end of this, it's a tragedy of all tragedies. Now, Hosea the prophet, as you recall, if you go back and read the story, he went back and his wife was sold into slavery, and he purchased her back. There's a message for us. Even though we may be unfaithful, we can return. We can come back and have a right relationship with God. I want to encourage you today, friend, if you've strayed away in your heart, your hands away from a right relationship with God, that's your return. The great price has been paid that God has given His Son to die for you, that you can have forgiveness of sins. If you've never obeyed the gospel, coming forward this morning with a penitent heart and mouth willing to confess Christ, be baptized into Him. Or for those that have done that, have strayed away, have walked away, have committed spiritual adultery, we return. God wants a right relationship with you. But do you want a right relationship with God? That's the question. If you feel you need to reply to this or respond to this invitation, please do so as together we stand and we sing.